take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 7, the whole chapter really deals with the story, but I'm just going to focus on verses 10 through 14 for our reading. Isaiah chapter 7, starting in verse 10, says, "Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." I'm going to stop reading there. There's a few other verses that are attached, but I'm going to stop right there, because it gets us to the thought that I'm looking at. Now this morning, just to give us a little background, the kingdom of Judah was in trouble. Syria and Israel, and by that, talking about the 10 northern tribes, that Syria and Israel had joined together with the desire to invade Judah and destroy them. And the Lord sends Isaiah with a message to King Ahaz. I will say that King Ahaz is the grandson of the great King Uzziah. And Ahaz receives the word from God through Isaiah, saying not to fear or worry, that both Israel and Syria will be defeated. And then God gives Ahaz a gift, so to speak. God said, Ask your son to me, either in depth or in height, and I'll give it to you. And the reason doing that, God was wanting to show Ahaz the proof that it would all happen like he said. But Ahaz says, I will not ask a sign of you. And the reason was, not that he didn't care, but Ahaz had already been working on another plan. Ahaz had been working on getting others to help him fight against Israel and Syria. Ahaz, in reality, didn't want to change his lifestyle. Ahaz didn't want to put his trust in God alone. So Ahaz sent her. But then, through Isaiah, God says unto Ahaz, said, I will give you a sign anyway. And what a sign God gave him. In verse 14, God said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. As we look at that, some may wonder and say, well, who is the prophet of God talking about? 700 years down the road, the Bible says in Matthew, chapter 1, verse 20, God was sent an angel talking to Joseph. And he says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Then notice this verse. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Could the answer be any plainer? The sign that given for Ahaz has a sign for all times and all people. God was announcing 700 years before his birth about the coming of Jesus Christ. I say to our hearts, that is the greatest gift of all. God told Ahaz, I'll give you a sign. They have sinned her. God said, I'll give you more than you pay. And what a gift God gave us to our hearts. I have sent in my lifetime received some amazing and surprising gifts. But nothing compares to this gift. Nothing measures up to what God gave to us through His Son. Now, as I'm trying to slow down, she keeps telling me, you're hard, Christian. Too hard. Slow down. She says, you won't even look at me. But I looked at her. And Betty's going like this. So I know I'm going a little too hard. I want to share with you just a few things about the gift that will be done. First of all, I say something here about the miracle of this gift. It talks to us about the miraculous birth of Jesus. He says in verse 14, the old virgin shall conceive. He was saying a virgin shall conceive. It is speaking of something no other woman could it be said of than Mary. But no other child could it be said other than Jesus to be born of a virgin. It was like most unusual birth. As a matter of fact, Adam touched on it earlier. Now that Joseph, when he heard there he was with child, thought about putting her away. But an angel appeared to him. Said Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost, telling us about the virgin birth of Christ. Surely there are some today that say, well, why the big deal? Why does it matter that Jesus was virgin born? Well, for one thing, the Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. If Jesus had been born with a fleshly conception, he would have inherited all of our sinful nature and infirmities. He would have been born and conceived in an old Adamic nature. But I want to tell you, because it's birth is conception. Fresh of the Holy Ghost. Birth that through abstention. You know sin. No doubt. Was ever found, it is found. Never did he do anything wrong toward the Father. Hebrews 7:26 says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Oh, listen, our redemption keys on the fact of the virgin birth. Not only a miraculous birth, but it was a marvelous birth. With all of the humility surrounding his birth, I will say there was so much glory. Never was there one born like him. Prophets predicted his coming. God had a new star to announce it. Angels filled the night sky to declare it. I remember several years ago preaching on the angels coming that night to those shepherds announcing the birth of Jesus. I remember studying the passage and sharing with you how that it wasn't just a handful of angels, but the way it describes it, scriptures was saying angels filled the sky all around proclaiming the birth of Jesus. Now what a marvelous church it is. Being mortal became man. Eternity stepped into time. The Creator became like his creation. He whom the earth could not hold, toward the heavens contain, stay in the arms of his brother. Thank God that it was a miracle in this year. And secondly, let me just say a word about the manner of this year. It tells us that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. All of this points to his humility. I realize that Jesus wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born to royalty. Born to a wealthy family. to just come, Lord and His people. Joseph was a carpenter. To trade. Mary, just a simple servant of the Lord. But they're the ones God chose to bring up the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen. Paul said, but he made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant and made in the likeness of man. Paul said in Corinthians, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Oh, listen. I don't think it's ever dawned on us to realize what he gave up and what he took on to be our Savior. I don't think it's ever really captured our minds to realize all that he gave up and all that he went through. His birth was marked by poverty. His childhood marked by obscurity. His ministry was marked in hostility. His suffering was marked by agony. His death was marked by mockery. Thank God his resurrection was marked in glory. Oh, the humility and the humanity of Christ. He took on him form of a servant that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Thank God he can be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. What amazing gift God gave. But lastly, I need to ponder a minute about the majesty of his gift. Because he said, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The majesty of this announcement reveals some things about him. First of all, his name reveals who he truly is. Matthew 1:23, again, said they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Think about that a moment. That name that means God with us. Or something in this way, with us is God. With us is God. I think about what that meant in his life. For 33 years he lived, walked on this earth, For 3 years of ministry, he preached and worked miracles. Why, he could say the word, and sickness was healed. He could speak, and demons would flee. He could touch the blind eyes, and they could see. He could say the word, and diseases would depart. He could speak to those who were dead, and they would arise. My, what it means when it says God with us. For those years, they saw God wrapped in human flesh. But that name doesn't just declare who he truly is. But that name declares that he truly cares. He truly cares. There came a time when Jesus told his disciples, "It's expedient for me that I go away." But he said, "I will send you another comforter." That word "another" indicates one just like me. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he said in John 14. "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Jesus said the Father is going to send you another comforter. One just like me. Though I myself will not be here physically, but I will be with you with the comforter. He said, "I will come to you." Albert Barnes said it like this, "Not that he should remain with you for a few years as I have done, and then leave you, but he will be with you in all places to the close of your life." The psalmist David said, "No matter where I go, I'm still in his presence. I'm still where he sees me and knows where I'm at." Jesus said that he may be with you. Emmanuel said, "God with us." That word "with," it means to accompany, to be together with, to be behind, to be in between. Ideas, no matter where you need him, he's going to be there. In times of difficulty, it's God with us. In times of danger, It's time for her.
Winds and seas.
Brings fear to our hearts. It's God with us.
When death
steps in to take her loved one, it's God with us.
In times of disappointment,
it's God with us.
In valleys,
so long, it's God with us.
On the mountains, rough
slopes, it's God with us.
When life confounds us,
it's God with us.
When troubles
surround us, it's God with us. Can I ask you the question? How in the world can we make it if God wasn't with us? How could I preach if God wasn't with me?
How could you pray
if it wasn't God with us?
How could we face life
if it wasn't God with us?
How could you face
sickness if it was not God with us?
How could Holly and Chandler and Henry
face treatments
if it wasn't God with us? How could their families
deal with the struggles that they deal with over it?
If it wasn't God with us,
how can we make it on the jobs?
If it wasn't God with us,
how could you do it?
Right, give payments
out for your bills if it wasn't God with us.
How could you take care of all of life
if it wasn't God with us?
I've had so many
over the years
say to me something along this line,
talking about the ungodly.
They would say, I don't know how they make it
without having God in their life.
I remember years ago, often wondered myself a lot.
I remember years ago,
there were two children walking on the side of the road in Alexander County
and were hit by a car
and they were killed.
I remember Alice and I going to the funeral home.
Two caskets,
side by side.
And I saw the family
gathered in a room to the side.
And they were weeping uncontrollably.
But I remember the dad.
He was drunk as a skunk.
And I remember leaving
and thinking, God, why in the world on a day like that would he get so drunk?
And it's like the Lord spoke to my heart.
And he said, that's all he's got to lean on.
I'm glad I've got the Lord to lean on.
I'm glad that he's always with me.
There's times, I'll be honest, I don't
feeling like I do at other times.
There are times it's like I can reach out and touch him.
And then there's times it's like he's a million miles away.
But he's always with me. Whether I see him or not, or recognize him or not, or feel him or not, it's always God with us. And because he is, I can face today. I can face tomorrow. I can face uncertain times or days. Because of that wondrous gift of God with us. God with us. That is the message the Lord put on my heart. I know that we all deal with a lot of things in this life. But I just say to our hearts this Christmas, what may be different than other Christmases, it's still God with us. Some Christmases are hard Christmases. Back in 1979, just before Christmas, my dad found out he was going to have his first heart surgery. And I remember that Christmas was one of the hardest that we had ever had. I don't think I'd ever seen my dad so low. I mean, my dad's a hero of mine. I don't know that I've ever seen him so low and so discouraged, so out of heart. But it wasn't long after God gave him a psalm reminding him that the Lord was always with him. And I saw him encouraged, ready to face the surgery that was to come. I want to tell you, there's nothing like when he just reminds you that he's always there and he'll be with you. Brother David, would you give us a song? We'll stand and sing. I don't know what need anyone may have. But there may be somebody here today that you just keep in the reminder that God's with you. Wherever you're at, whatever you're dealing with, God is with you. And he will not fail you. But he will see you through. While we stand.